to serve. And that's our theme, really, in these words. The Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples is Mark 10 and verse 42. The background, you may already know that in these chapters, Jesus is on his way to Calvary. He's on the road to Calvary. The first verse in the reading at verse 32, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. There was something about the Lord Jesus, his body language, could we say. He was determined to go to Jerusalem. He was heading to the cross, and as the disciples watched him, they were amazed at him. And as they followed, it says, again in verse 32, they were afraid. And he began to take the 12 disciples to one side and tell them the things that would happen to him. And he speaks to them, tells them about his death. He goes into the details of his death. The scribes and chief priests will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him. Verse 34, they will scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. And when the Lord Jesus has spoken those words, then some of the disciples, James and John, they come to Jesus. One of the other gospels says that they come with their mother. The mother wants the best for her sons, and they ask for the best seats in the glory. Jesus says to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they answer in verse 37, grant unto us that we may sit on your right hand and the other on your left in the glory. And Jesus responds to them. He tells them that there are certain things that have to take place first. It's not for him to give these places to them. It'll be for those for whom it is prepared. And then in verse 41, the other 10 disciples, listening to James and John, they become greatly displeased. And we know from the other Gospels, there's a bit of friction between them. There's a bit of an argument going on. Who's the greatest disciple? Some of us will remember the great boxer Muhammad Ali, and whether he was serious or not, or just playing games with the press, he used to call himself the greatest. I am the greatest, he would say. And the disciples are speaking like that. It's almost unbelievable. The Lord Jesus is on his way to Calvary. He's telling them exactly what's involved. He's going to die on the cross, and the disciples are thinking about themselves. And so Jesus then begins to speak to them about humility and that they must humble themselves and follow him. So that's the background of the chapter, just a little summary, and then the verses we're looking at from verse 42. Jesus instructs the disciples. Can you see in verse 42, if you're following in the Bible, it says, Jesus called them to himself. He deliberately calls them to himself. He wants the disciples to understand things. And we need that, don't we? We need always to keep coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You may have been a Christian for many years. But do you find in your own life that you're always coming back to the Lord Jesus? You want to sit at his feet and listen to what he says. Jesus calls the 12. So Jesus is not preaching to the crowds at this point, but he's instructing his own disciples. Jesus tells them about discipleship and what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow him. And let me divide those few verses, 42 to 45, into three parts. First of all, Jesus speaks to them about the way it is in the world. Can you see that in verse 42? You know, Jesus says, that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, they lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. The word Gentiles there means the nations of the world, or we could think of, you could put in the word unbelievers there if you like. The Lord Jesus is referring to the world, people out there in the world. You know what it's like out there. How do people treat one another? How do they behave? Well, Jesus says they lord it over one another. They push one another around. They bully one another. If you want to get to the highest positions, then you have to be prepared to tread upon other people and other people's feelings. There's a constant abuse of power. Jesus refers to that in verse 42. There's a domineering spirit and attitude. There's a hierarchy. And if you want to climb the ladder and be successful, then you've got to be ruthless. course, the bad thing about that is that some people are trampled upon. Sometimes we find this out, don't we, in places of work. Some places have been reported recently in the press that there's a bullying culture in certain places. Jesus says that's what it's like in the world. I read recently somewhere about a man who was abusive to his wife. And he would not allow his wife even to take a bath without his permission. That's an abuse of power, isn't it? That's terrorism in the home. Jesus says that's what the world is like. That's the unbelieving mindset. And it's like that in the world. In one of the churches where I help, a couple of years ago, a man came to church. He turned up on the Tuesday morning for the Bible study prayer time. We have a prayer time in the morning in one of the churches. And this man came and he said, I had to come, he said. It's terrible out there in the world. Just got to come for some help. And the Lord Jesus refers to that in that 42nd verse. You know what it's like out there, Jesus says. As many of you can identify with verse 42, the school place can be a bullying place. People can be mistreated left, right, and center. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 22, in the parallel passage, the same story, Luke adds a little phrase, a little verse where he says that these people who push other people around, they even get rewarded for it. They even get called the name benefactors. Apparently in the Lord's time, 2,000 years ago, people would push one another around. They would treat other people cruelly, and then they would get an award for it. This was quite common in the culture of the day. The Egyptians and the Syrians, the leaders of the people could be ruthless, but afterwards they would be called the champions of the people. Jesus refers to that, the way it is in the world. And then secondly, notice what the Lord says in verses 43 to 44. The way it must be in the church, amongst believers. You see in verse 43, the Lord says, it shall not be so among you. You see now the Lord is drawing a distinction, isn't he? He's been talking about the world. But he says, you mustn't be like that. If you follow me, then you must be like me, Jesus says. You mustn't be like the world. It shall not be so among you. You see there the Lord Jesus is laying down a principle. He's laying down a command. It's not up for debate. Jesus is saying, it shall not be so among you. I read a story about Alexander the Great, the famous warrior. One of his soldiers was not behaving as he should have done. And this man was also called Alexander, like the great warrior, Alexander the Great. And so he was called in to see Alexander the Great. And the great warrior said to him, "If you must either change your name or change your behavior. If you are bearing my name," he says to this man, "then you must be like me." How much more is that true in the Christian life? If we bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we are to be like him, aren't we? So Jesus says that to them, first of all. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And then he presses it home in verse 44. Whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Jesus now uses two words to describe the Christian life. I wonder if you would use these two words about the Christian life. The first one is there in verse 43. It's the word servant. A servant. The disciples were fighting one another. They were arguing who's the greatest. And Jesus says, if you want to be great, then you have to be a servant. The word that's used in the New Testament is the Greek word, diakonos. We get the word deacon from it. Sometimes the word in the Bible is translated minister. It's the word for servant. That's the word Jesus uses about himself, as we'll see in a moment. And that's the word he uses to describe his people. A servant. Do you remember Remember how the Lord Jesus was that, wasn't he? We'll see it in some of the other verses in just a minute, but Jesus exemplified that. He showed it in his own life. He was a servant. Remember how he washed the disciples' feet on the very night when they were arguing with one another. Who's the greatest disciple? Jesus washed their feet. A servant. And then the other word in verse 44 is the word slave. And that's a different word. It's the Greek word slave. It's doulos. In what way was a servant different to a slave? Well, a slave didn't have any rights. A slave was owned by somebody else. A slave had a master. Couldn't do what he wanted or she wanted. And so there's a difference. Jesus deliberately uses these two words, servant and slave. We find it used elsewhere. The Apostle Paul uses the words like that. In 1 Corinthians 6, he says to Christians, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. Or in Romans chapter 6, he says, once we were servants, slaves of righteousness, of sin, but now we are slaves of righteousness. To be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ includes those two words, servant and slave. I read a story about a man called Jim Bell. I think this story goes back probably into the 50s or 60s. Jim Bell was a banker in America, quite a wealthy man, but he wanted to serve God on the mission field. So off he went to the Moody Bible Institute, to Bible College. And then he had big ideas that he was going to serve God somewhere in the world. He arrived at the Bible Institute in his expensive suit and his nice shoes. And the people welcomed him on the staff. They said, welcome to you. Jim Bell said, well, what do you want me to do, he said. And they said, well, outside you'll find a change of clothes, you'll find some overalls and some cleaning equipment. And we would like you to take your turn, first of all, in cleaning the toilets. Jim Bell was deeply offended. He stormed off to his room. He said, I've come all this way to serve God. They're asking me to clean the toilets. And he began flicking through his Bible. And his eyes came on Philippians chapter 2. You remember the words about the Lord Jesus? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. And Paul goes on to use the word bondservant, a slave. And humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. Jim Bell was humbled, put on his overalls, took the cleaning equipment, and somebody said afterwards that the toilets had never looked so clean. A servant, a slave, following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Christian faith mean to you? Somebody might be here, you might say, well, I'm interested in the Christian faith. What does it mean? It means following the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on the road to Calvary. He's giving himself. He's putting himself at people's feet. And all those who follow him must be prepared to do the same thing. It's a life of service. So Jesus speaks about the way it is in the world, the way it is in the church. It shall not be so among you. You must be a servant and a slave. Not just a slave of me, Jesus says, but a slave of all. And then thirdly, verse 45, the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us especially to focus on this particular verse before we sing and then we come around the Lord's table to share communion. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. What do you think of the verses so far? Verse 43, 44.